I'm not really going to preach per se tonight. I was going to preach a sermon about Thanksgiving. It's a sermon that I've written. I like it, and I was going to preach it. And my thing is, I just want to be obedient. At the end, you know, the testimony that was just given, I'm sitting there thinking, you guys, we, all of us, have a very real enemy. He hates y'all. As cool as y'all are, as nice as you are, was that Hayden or Aiden? He hates him. He hates you. And so I don't have time to come up here and just give you something just because I like it. We got to walk this thing out. Normally when I preach, I go through verses. I'm not doing that tonight. I'm just going to kind of talk to you tonight. And if I had to title what I'm talking about, I would simply title it one question, basically: can you hang? Can you hang? I'm old school, and growing up, that was kind of how we talked. Hey, man, can you hang? Can you hang with me? I'm from Elberton, Georgia, 2 hours away from him. Elberton is the country. Not a lot going on. We're the granite capital of the world. We have a chicken poultry. Those are claimed the fames. Not a lot going on. Still, even though it's not a lot going on in Elberton, there's a lot of shady stuff that happens in that small town. Elberton has been on 2020 before. They did a thing on small towns and drugs, and Elberton was one of the towns. That's where I come from. And I rep my city. One of my memories, though, of Elberton is this. We grew up, we were poor. I was poor. My mom and my dad worked, but we just barely always had enough. We never had an air conditioner. I go home now and my parents have one. But growing up, we didn't have AC, and so every evening we sat outside. It's just hot in the house. It was hot. And day after day, I sat outside, man, in the chair, and I looked across the street from my house at Miss Sis's house. She was an old lady, and for some reason, under the huge cedar tree in Miss Sis's yard, men would stand out there and just smoke weed. Boo-boo. That's a real guy. That was his nickname. Mudcat. Spanky. These were my neighbors. They'd stand out there and they'd smoke weed, man, and they'd drink cold can after cold can, day after day after day. Boo Boo, Mudcat, Spanky, my cousin Ray Neal. Ray Neal, by the way, is the coolest guy I've ever seen. But he just never worked. He's like 80 now. But they stood out and they smoked weed. They drank cold can after cold can, and when Renee Murray would walk down the street, they'd talk smack to her. When her sister Jackie would walk down the street, by the way, guys, if like your line is like, oh, ooh, you know, if that's all you got to say, like, these were grown men. They didn't even know how to talk to women. But they'd smoke weed, they'd drink, and they'd talk noise to women. And so for me, I would summarize what they did simply. All they did for year after year is hang. They just hung out. No job, kids everywhere. I'm getting on a soapbox now. Let me get off. They just hung. Just hung. So in my mind, hanging is a bad thing. In my mind, hanging is for losers. I was very judgmental of them. To me, they were losers. They were losers. And yet, tonight, I'm here to talk to you, and I'm here to encourage you to hang. Learn to hang out. Yeah. Yeah, learn to hang out. Learn to hang out with people. Maybe like Ray Neal, maybe like Mudcat, maybe like Boo Boo. Maybe like Spanky. You, I know that you're young, you gotta learn to hang. Father, in the name of Jesus, May you touch us all. May you change the trajectory of our lives. May your will be done through us. I certainly need you to work. I certainly need you to take over. So I'm increasing or decreasing, and I beg you to increase. Speak to us now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm encouraging you tonight to learn to hang. I got a question for you. Can you? Do you know how to hang? I don't want you to hang without purpose. See, Ray Neal, Boo Boo, Spanky, Mutt, Cat, Chuck, and I can go down the list. There was a lot of them. They hung with no purpose. Do you know how to hang? Can you hang with purpose? I'm going to give you three quick things, and I'm going to sit down. You got to learn to hang, number one, with love. Hang in a way where you show love. Hang in a way where you show love. You go to Etowah, you go to Woodstock High, you go to maybe a middle school. Wherever you go, there are people there. Do you know how to hang with those people? You know what I learned in college from my youth ministry professor? People spell love, T-I-M-E. That's how they spell love. Can you hang in a way where people know that you love them? My wife, been married almost 19 years. If I just told her I love her, but I was never at home, how do you think that would go over? Yeah. She never saw me. If I never spent time, if I never just kicked it with her, if I never just hung with her with no agenda, just hanging because I love her. Got a 15-year-old daughter that some of you know. When she was 9, my daughter is really quiet, at least at home. I don't know what her friends would say here. But my daughter doesn't talk much. When she was 9 years old and I was working at a church, we ate dinner one night. I was getting ready to go back to church to lead small group training. And my daughter, I noticed her at 9 crying. She's crying. I said, Jayla, what's wrong? She says, Dad, you're always at the church. You're always there. You're always there. You're never home. Every night you come home and eat, and you're back at church. And you know what I did the next day? Not defiantly. I went to my boss, and I said, every day at 4, maybe with the exception of one day a week, I'm going home at 4. I'm going to get off at 4. Because my daughter spells love, T-I-M-E. My daughter wants me to hang with her. You've got friends, you've got neighbors, you've got relatives. They need you to hang with them. They need it in a way where you show them love. You ain't got to have fancy Bible studies. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to have fancy prayer meetings, but they simply need you to hang. By the way, Jesus did that. Jesus did it. There was one time Jesus was going through villages, and the Bible said that he needed to go through Samaria. My favorite line in that text in John chapter 4, he needed to go. He needed to go through Samaria, which makes no sense because Jews and Samaritans, they don't even like each other. Jews went around Samaria typically, but Jesus needed to go. Why? 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 Because there was a woman in Samaria. If I can use your bucket. There was a woman in Samaria. She was drawing water from a well. Samaritan woman. She's working hard, and she's there at the sixth hour, which is interesting because women typically don't draw water from the well at noon, but she's probably there because probably she could be ashamed. We learn a lot about this woman. We're not going to read the text today, but the Bible said Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And there was a woman there, and Jesus, the Bible says that he was tired, so he just kind of like sat down, which is funny. Jesus tired. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is tired? Bible said he needed to go, and he was tired. And there's a Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans don't like each other. The Bible said he needed to go through Samaria. Why? He just needed to hang. He just needed to hang with the woman that when most other men hung with her, they were hanging to sleep with her. They were hanging for themselves. But Jesus sat down and he just chilled, and he was tired. And he said, "Hey, can you give me some H2O? Can you give me some water?" Disciples are gone. Nobody but him and the woman. And the woman she's a little bit mystified. You realize that you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and we ain't supposed to like each other. And Jesus is like, "Woman, if you knew who I was, I could give you some super water. You never have to come back and work for the water again. You never have to do it." I don't know if she carried it on her head, but it was work. "I've got some different kind of water for you." And the woman was like, "Hook me up. I don't want to work anymore." But she didn't realize Jesus was there to hang with her on purpose, to show her love. And they keep talking back and forth, and she wants this water. And Jesus calmly says to her, hey, go get your husband and come back. I'll hook you up with the super water." She says, I don't have one." Jesus is like, "You got that right. You've had five. The dude you're with now, he ain't your husband. I'm going to be polite here because this seems like a lot of newer people. I can't say what I want to say, but in my neighborhood, this woman would have had a title. She would have. I know we're church people, but you know the titles. Five husbands. The dude you're with now, not your husband. She'd been passed around. She'd been used and abused." And I'm amazed because Jesus, our King, chooses to hang with her. The Messiah, the King of Kings, is hanging with a woman. And in my neighborhood, I'm going to go on and say it. In my neighborhood, Steve, she would have been a hoe, man. Sorry. And you would think, if it's Jesus, the King of Kings, couldn't he find somebody else to hang with? A bishop? A pastor, a preacher, a teacher? You take your time and you don't go around Samaria. You go straight to it, and you don't give some massive Bible study. You ain't got your robe on. You ain't got a suit and tie. You tired, and you just hanging with the woman that everybody else probably looks down on. Hanging in a way where he shows love. He could have been with his boys, the disciples. No, he's with this woman. Write this down. Time with Jesus will equal love from Jesus. You spend time with Jesus, you can rest assured you're going to get love from Jesus. Now, let me clarify that. Time with Jesus equals love from Jesus, but love from Jesus ain't always this touchy-feely stuff. Time with Jesus may mean he disciplines you. Time with Jesus may mean he corrects you. Time with Jesus may mean that he puts a mirror in your face and tells you, "Hey, you can't depend on even your daddy. You can't depend on even your brother. You got to depend on me." But Jesus hung with this woman in a way where he displayed love. Then there was another time Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God of Gods, goes to a wedding. All of this just seems strange to me. Jesus kicking it at a wedding. Just hanging at a wedding. The bride and the groom are having wedding feasts, and they run out of wine. Jesus' mom come to him and says, "Hey, Jesus, parted and stop. Can you hook them up with wine?" And I like what Jesus said. He basically said, "Yo, it ain't time yet. I'm hanging. I'm chilling. I'm here to relax. It's not my time to do massive miracles yet." But yet and still, if you read the text, you know the story. Jesus turned water into wine. He turned water into wine, and I'll be honest with you. My family and I read this text a few weeks ago, and it's beautiful to see the process that he did. But you know what it blows my mind more than the miracle? Is that he was just chilling at a wedding. Not preaching there, just chilling, just hanging. No prayer meetings at the wedding, not being super spiritual. Jesus knew how to hang with regular old folk. Does anybody remember the day when he first started hanging with you and you realized it? Do you remember that? 1987, July 21st, that's when I recognized that as sinful as I am, he wants to just hang out with me. I don't know about you, but I want to model my life after him. I love the fact that, you know what, he wasn't in a church in either one of these scenes. He was in a very bad environment in Samaria, but he went anyway and he hung out with people. I wonder how that woman at the well felt when Jesus had left her. He didn't try to hit on her like Mudcat and Spanky and Boo Boo and Ray Neal and like all of the other men in her life. No, he hung with her and he displayed love. I wonder how the bride and the groom at that wedding felt. See, in that culture, if you run out of wine, if you don't show hospitality, you're going to be looked down on. You're going to be judged. Jesus, simply put, he helped them out. He rescued them from people talking about him, looking down. I wonder how did they feel to be in the presence of a God who loved them. Yesterday, I've been in a training all week for Celebrate Life International. Some of you know Dr. Lori. She's awesome. Lady is awesome. I've been in a training with her all week, and I didn't realize it would be as intense as it's been. When I was walking out yesterday evening at about 6 o'clock, I turned my phone on and I've got texts. And couldn't read all of the texts, but one lady was basically saying, "I don't think I'm worthy to live." So you got to read that text. I've counseled this lady and her husband, and I just called her. And she says, "I've done it again. Cheated on my husband again. Keith, I've been getting drunk since I was 13. Every night I drink wine, I get high. Every night. You've counseled me before, but I've cheated on him again. He knows about it, and I don't feel like I should even live." Now, I could give her a sermon. Guess what I just asked of her? "I just want you and your husband, just come hang with me." They both called me today, and she's on her way to rehab. But I'm not against rehab, but you know, perhaps she just needs to hang with Jesus in his presence. It's the one thing I've gotten from Dr. Lori this week. There's no substitute for God's presence. And you know what I could do? I could look down on her, and I could fuss at her. And I could tell her, "You don't cheat on your husband. You're supposed to be saved." And she's heard all of that before. What if I just hang with her and her husband in a way where, I don't know, I just love them? You think she knows she's guilty? She told me, she says, "I don't even feel like living. I feel low." And I said, "You know what? You should feel bad, because sin ain't good. But I want you to know, if it's 10, 15 years from now, I can't judge you. I just want to hang with you and your husband." And her husband called me today, and I just want to love on you. A month ago, one of my friends from Chicago, I've known this guy about 25 years. He was the running back on our college football team. He lives in Chicago. One of my best friends came and stayed with me for a weekend. His wife divorced him. She left him for another man, left him with the kids. She's gone. And he's been dating, because he's hurt, just dating. And I always talk the truth to him. And when he was getting ready to go back home, he knocked on my door, my bedroom, and came in. He's ripped. He's ripped still. A man's man. And he started crying, just started talking to me about his life. Started thanking me for 20-some years being there. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to say this. I was telling my wife, why would he be coming back to me, calling me 25 years later? Why? Because in college, we hung. Sometimes we prayed. Sometimes we read scripture. But we hung with the purpose of loving each other. And 20-plus years later, we come to each other. this ain't a fancy message. Sorry, it ain't. But your generation must learn to hang. See, people know that Jesus loves them. Even your unsaved friends, they've heard that. The question is this: do they know that you love them? Do they? Do your friends at school know that you love the Lord and you love them? Or are you keeping it inside? We got to learn to hang. We can't expect people to come up in here. Some of your friends may never come in this building. But guess what? Every day at lunch, you can sit with them and hang. You can just hang. When you're in that class, you can hang with the purpose. And the purpose can be, you know what? I'm going to love them. And let's be honest, there are some people in here. You got a couple people at school you don't really like, right? There's one or two. A teacher, you know what I mean? A youth leader. A guest speaker. That you just want to hurry up. But what if you hung with that person in a way where you showed God's love? Even conscious Christians in American history, I'm talking about conscious, God-fearing Christians, we tend to hang with people that are like us. We've shut people out. In this country, church folk have shut other people out. There was a time I couldn't have spoken here because of the color of my skin. I'm just telling the truth. We've shut people off because of their gender. Even today, we shut people off because of their sexual struggles. And your generation, please change it. Change it. This ain't a fancy sermon, but you know what I hope tomorrow? That one person that you've ignored, you go and hang with them with the purpose of showing them that Jesus loves them, but hey, I love you too. And yep, you get high on the weekend. I don't want to hang with you doing that. I'm not going to compromise, but I'm going to love you. And I'm afraid it's got to be this generation. It's got to be this generation. Jesus went to Samaria. The lady didn't come to Jerusalem Baptist. He went to her. Hanging. We got to hang in a way where we love people. Let me ask you a question. Can you hang in a way where you show love? Can you? With people that you don't feel even deserve it. Secondly, we've got to hang in a way where we lead, where we lead. Where we lead. You know what the truth of the matter is? This woman at the well didn't know any better. She didn't know any better. She was looking for happiness. She's trying to get fulfilled in man after man after man after man. She didn't know any better. So guess what? Jesus showed up and led her. Guess what? The people at the wedding, they didn't know any better. They didn't know how to tap into the power of God for themselves. So guess what Jesus did? He showed up and he led them. Guess what? Your coworkers, adults, they don't know any better. And so they're waiting on you to show up. You've got to lead them. Guess what, students? Your classmates, they don't know any better. They don't know how to tap into the power of God. They actually need you. They need your testimony. They need it. You've got to be the leaders. Jesus showed up and he led this woman. If you read the text, the woman dropped her water stuff. She says, I'll be back. And she ran to the village. Change says, hey, come see a man. Come. She was preaching. She was an evangelist. Come on, there's a dude here that can change your life. He hung with me. He loved me. He knew my story. And yet he didn't judge me. That's my testimony. I'm preaching today, but I used to be a straight-up buster. And he hung with me. He hung with you. He led this woman to testify. She didn't know that's what she was doing. She was testifying. You got to hang in a way where you lead. But you say, Keith, you know what? Man, I'm shy. I ain't no preacher. But I'm telling you, when I played basketball in junior high, I kind of played, I kind of sat the bench. We had two players on our team that were awesome. They were brothers, Byron and Dexter Rucker, brothers. Byron was the vocal leader. He was the coolest guy other than Ray Neal that I know. Byron was the vocal leader. He was the kind of guy that coaches like because he would coach us on the floor. His brother Dexter was the absolute best player on the team. And Dexter never talked. But you know what he did? He played better than anybody else. That's how he led. In my house, guess who's the vocal person? Me. But guess who's the best player in my house? My wife. Shy as can be. If she came in here now, she wouldn't grab a mic. You don't have to be a preacher to lead people. You got to make a stand. Stand for something. That's leadership. You got to lead by example. You know, I'm discipling a few men. One of them is a businessman. Met him in Greenville at BMW factory, and he asked to meet with me. He started asking questions about Jesus, and we've met a few times. And the last time we met a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, we were talking about gay marriage. He asked me questions on everything. And he says, you know what? My truth is my truth, and you got yours, I got mine. And I says, man, but I believe in absolute truth. And I'm leading him, and he doesn't even know it. He says, you know what, if they love each other, if two people love each other, that should be all that matters. And I'm not here to bash anybody, but you got to lead people, because he doesn't know. He says, if they love each other, two people love each other, that's all that matters. And I was like, nah, you got to have some absolute truth. You got to have a standard. And so I told him, so I'm 43 years old. I fall in love with an 11-year-old girl. Is that cool? He's like, oh. Just lead him. Love him and lead him. See, the Bible makes sense, even when it don't look like it. Would that be sick? Wouldn't it be sick if I married one of my cousins? Gee. Yeah. Patrick is his name. I gotta lead Patrick. I got to hang with Patrick at lunch. I got to listen to his questions that to me are Christianity 101. He's a wealthy businessman pushing a BMW, but he needs to be led. Or Linda, who my wife and I and my kids go and have church with because she's got a bad diagnosis on her life. And I take for granted that I tell her, she said, I haven't read my Bible since I've been diagnosed. Haven't read it. And I said, you got to not only read it, you got to speak it. You got to speak it. You got to put it in atmosphere and you can get healed. You put Jesus' words in the atmosphere. And I told her this. I said, you know, when you read the New Testament, what's in red, that's what Jesus said. And this lady is older than me and I'm not bashing her. She didn't know that. She didn't know that what was in red is Jesus' words. What's my point? People need to be led. She's grown up in church. Who's going to lead her? It has to be us. Or Brian at the gym that you've probably seen. Talks more than anybody in the gym. More than anybody, he talks nonstop. Calls me player. When I walk in the gym, Brian talks nonstop, and he knows I'm a preacher, he knows what I'm about, and he's always talking about some woman in the gym. Man, that honey right there, man, that honey. And he's gone through a nasty divorce, and I know in my heart that he's hurt. You can't say that at the gym. You can't. And I talk to Brian. I just hang with Brian. A guy that knows me saw Brian talking to me. He heard what Brian was talking about, and the guy tried to rescue me. Keith, go work out, because he thinks I don't want to be bothered. And really, I want to be bothered. God has put it in my heart. Brian needs to be the next guy that you ask to join you in Bible study. A week ago today, last Thursday, Brian, I'm walking in the gym, and I hear somebody say, yo, pretty boy. It's Brian. It's Brian. I guarantee you, you've seen him. And he talks to me, and I'm just trying to work out. But I got to hang. See, sometimes we Christians, especially us preachers, we too busy to hang. I got to write a sermon. I don't need to hang with people. I need to be on a stage with a light. And And Brian is talking to me. I realize, dude, I ain't going to stop. And he just starts talking. I tell him about my Bible studies, and we talk. And he said something that, see, we've been praying for Brian. And he admitted something that I always knew. He says, man, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I wonder how many of your classmates are hurt. Living in the Arbors, living in Eagle Watch. Don't look hurt. Brian says, yeah, I'm hurt. He says, man, my wife cheated on me with my boy. And I just counseled him. And somebody got to lead Brian. If you heard his mouth, you wouldn't want to talk to him. I wouldn't want him to even look at my wife. I'm just keeping it real with you. Because I know what he thinks. But really, I'm looking underneath. Brian is hurt. Brian needs to be led. He needs somebody to just hang with him and forget the weights. And then there's my friend Ed that I've told you guys about. Ed is gay. Ed and I have lunch probably every 2 months. We had gay a week ago. I mean, we had lunch a week ago. We had scratch that. Wow. Let's pray. Wow. I'm glad I'm a brother because my face is red. But Ed and I meet every couple of months. We meet in the same place. We meet in the same place. And I got one agenda. I just want to hang with Ed. He says he's a Christian. He doesn't really use the Bible. He twists it. Just happened to be in my reading last week. I was in the section where they talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm like, God, I'm meeting with Ed today. Do I talk about this? I don't want to hurt him. I'm not out to bash him. And I go to Romans chapter 1, and I study, and I pray. And I was like, God, I'm not bringing anything up. But Romans 1, to me, is pretty clear that God doesn't endorse the certain lifestyle. And I know that might not even be popular in here, but we live by the Bible. So Ed and I are meeting, and I never bring up the gay thing. I never bring it up. I just hang because I want to love him. And Ed brings up some stuff, and I'm in it now. I got to lead him now. And I just said, Ed, you know, he's got his interpretation of the Sodom and Gomorrah. I says, but you, what do you do with Romans chapter 1? And I challenge Ed like I do straight people. Are you a church person, or are you a follower? Are you a disciple? Matter of fact, that's a good question for y'all. Are you a disciple? Someone who learns from Jesus by following him. And what I was afraid of would happened. Ed got mad. Which is what I did. I want to love him. He gets mad at me. And he goes off and he's talking crazy in a restaurant. And I just kind of calm him down. And now the next 30 minutes is awkward. But somebody got to lead him. And I ain't finished with the Ed story. Don't let me forget. But somebody's got to lead these people. People don't know. People even in church, there are people that come to Hillside every week. They don't know. They don't know what's in red. They don't know the power of the gospel. What if you hung with your classmates in a way where you're the one that leads them? You don't wait on the pastor here. You don't wait on Steve. You lead them. Can I ask you a question? Can you hang? Can you hang in a way where you lead people? Can you? And then finally, I want you to learn to hang in a way where you don't lose influence. You want to love people? You want to lead people, but you don't want to lose influence with people. I was on Facebook a few weeks ago on a lady's page. I saw her pictures pop up on my homepage. She claims to be a Christian. I can't argue that. But I looked at her pictures from her vacation with some of her friends. And man, she's hammering in these pictures. She's getting her party on. I don't even know why a lady my age would post the pictures she posted. And I don't judge it, but I say this. Have you now hung with people but lost influence? If I claim to be a Christian and I go back to that old cedar tree in Elberton and I smoke weed too with them, am I losing influence? If I get drunk with my boys just because they get drunk and I want to share my faith with them, haven't I lost my influence? I don't think that's most of you in here. I'm going to assume that that's probably not most of you. But you know where most of us church people go wrong? We don't join the action. We don't join in and smoke weed, but we judge. We're self-righteous. I sometimes want to punch my computer when I read certain Christians' tweets. Okay, you're right. You're right. Everybody else is wrong. When you're self-righteous and you tweet, I wonder what would have happened if Jesus had been talking to the woman at the well and he knows what's up with her. He knows that she slept with a bunch of dudes. What if he goes home and says, you know what, man, I saw tweet I hung with later today who was a no good. You know, she's sinning. Hashtag I saved her. Wonder what if Jesus had gone home and tweeted, you know, man, I hate going to weddings and they run out of wine. Why don't they prepare better? You know, we tweet and we Facebook sometimes in a way that it causes us to lose influence with the people that we need to be hanging with. The reason I go to lunch with this gay man, my friend Ed, is because I don't want to lose influence with him. I don't want to bash him online. I want to look at him so he can know I love him. Hang in a way where you don't lose influence. Jesus did it. Before you tweet, think. Before you pontificate, ponder. Can I ask you a question? I got to say this, though, about my friend Ed. I was worried that I had lost influence with him last week because he was mad. We eat another 30 minutes, and I feel awkward because I do stand my ground. And we go outside to our cars, and he hugged me like we always do, and he shook my hand, and he put a $100 bill in it. And he says, this is for your ministry. My point is this. If you hang in a way where you love and you lead, even if you disagree, you don't lose influence. Guess what I'm going to guarantee? Ed ain't going to forget Romans 1. Because the word is living. It's powerful. Two-edged sword. And so don't worry about losing influence. People need you. They need you. I didn't come to preach a fancy message. Sorry. Maybe in September. But I want y'all to hang in a way where you lead people, where you love people. Well, you don't lose your influence. And guess what you'll do? I'm all on this kick now, Steve, about making disciples. That's what it's about. And the way you make disciples is you just got to hang with them. I got to ask you a question. Can you hang in a way where you don't lose influence? I wonder what would have happened if Jesus hadn't hung at the wedding. What would have happened? I wonder with the bride and the groom. I've been embarrassed. Wonder what would have happened if Jesus hadn't hung at the well. Wonder what would have happened to that woman. I wonder how many more men she would have slept with. But he hung. What if Jesus had hung on the cross and had his own selfish agenda where he pontificated and he dogged the Romans? He went off on how wrong they were, but he hung there. Check this out. He hung between two crooks. If you were walking by that day, Jesus would have just looked like a common criminal. Jesus. He hung with them to the point that one of them got his life changed. Jesus loved him even on a cross. Jesus led him even on a cross. Jesus didn't lose influence. Even in his pain, he had influence. Wonder what would have happened had Jesus gone off on the Roman soldiers and gotten his way. Instead, he hung with the purpose. And when he died, one of the Roman soldiers says, "Oh, yeah, that's God's son." He influenced him. So guess what? I don't see hanging anymore as such a bad thing. If you hang with the purpose, if you hang to love people, that's what you guys got to do. Your generation has to do it. Get out of this church. No disrespect. Get out of it. Get out of these four walls. Get out of your comfortable neighborhood. Get out of your section at school that you sit at every day with your hillside friends and your Christian friends. Leave it. Go hang with somebody else who needs it. Can you hang, even if it's painful? Can you hang, even if it's inconvenient? Can you hang, even if people look at you and they associate you with the people you hang with? Can I be honest? When I first started hanging with my gay friend, I was a little worried. Right here in Town Lake is where we meet. What are people going to think about me? We got to get out of that. People are dying and going to hell because we're doing church. And Jesus has called us, you. Yeah, you're young. He's called you to make disciples. Can you do it? So I looked at Boo Boo. I looked at Spanky. I looked at Ray Neal, my own cousin, and Mudcat. These guys, 10, 12 years older than me, as dudes that hung out, and to me, losers. Potheads. They were losers. My question today is, who are the real losers? Ray Neal, Mudcat, Spanky? Are those of us who claim to be blood-bought? And all we do is hang in four walls of a building. Sorry if this ain't comfortable. Who's the real losers? If we got the answer and we sit on it. And I'm not talking this kind of loser, but who's the loser of opportunities? Jesus is on a cross, and he doesn't let that opportunity slip to save dude. Think about that. In his worst moment, he saved somebody. Don't lose opportunities. Don't lose opportunities to show love. Don't lose opportunities to lead. Don't lose opportunities to influence people. So I have homework for you, and I'm out of your way. Homework is this. I want you to identify three people, relative, somebody that you know already. I'll make it easy. Three people that you need to hang with. I want you to write it down. I want you to get it. I want you to do this. He wants you to do it. Three people that you need to hang with simply to love them, to lead them. By the way, don't lead them to your doctrine. To your this, your anything, lead them to Jesus. And then somebody that you can hang with and influence. I want you to name one relative, one friend that you hang with all of the time. I have a young lady in my core group. She's the shyest young lady in the core group. She just led her boss to Christ because I'm on him. She's known her boss for 4 years, never once thought to talk to her about Jesus. And do you know how cool she feels now? She led her boss to Jesus. Please hear me. You're young. Some of y'all are my daughter's friends, her age, but you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Hang in a way that you have purpose in your life. Three people that you can love, you can lead, and that you can influence. Three people, three people, three people, three people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for loving us. thank you for coming from heaven to earth and not just staying down for a few minutes, but for over 30 years you hung with sinful mankind. I'm grateful. May we take this simple message and do the same thing. May we find friends, family members, maybe even one of our parents or both of our parents who don't know you, and let us just hang with them. Hang with purpose. In the name of Jesus, I pray.